Good evening. Breaking one of the first rules that I learned in public speaking. When you're up in front of people, don't be chomping on gum. Don't be having candy or something in your mouth. I got a cough drop, so I'm breaking the rules. I hope I don't have to stop and blow my nose. I hope don't have to stop and cough, but we're going to get through this. We're going to start tonight looking at the book of Jeremiah. The times that I have the opportunity on Sunday nights to speak to you, we're going to kind of be looking through an overview. Again, it's not going to be a verse by verse study of Jeremiah, but as I've read Jeremiah, kind of like the morning lesson today, these are some verses that really jumped out at me. There may be ones that you wish I would have added. There may be some, why did he add that? That's a stupid verse. Oh well, you know, but these are some verses that really said a lot, not only to Jeremiah's time, but 99% of these verses speak to us today. And even though this was ages ago, these verses apply to us. Jeremiah was in a time, and in a lot of ways, the message was how Israel had lived amidst the nations around them, the different cultures, the different people, and they had absorbed those things. They assimilated and were affected by the people around them. That is a message to us. You know, God was not pleased with this. Israel had drifted from a very unique style of worship called monotheism, the worship of one God. The nations in that region, they were polytheistic. They had multiple gods, a god of this, god of that, goddess of the harvest, god of this. And Israel worshiped God the Father, God the Creator. That was bigger and better than all of those others. And Israel had taken on, they had lived amidst the world and had been affected, had been influenced. And God was against that. That is as much us talking to us today as it was during Jeremiah's time. They were starting to participate in the pagan worship, the sacrificing to idols. Now, we may not do those activities today, but when we take on the characteristics of the world and making no distinction between us as a Christian and the practices of a worldly environment around us, that's the same thing. Jeremiah spent his life and his ministry as a watchman, warning Israel to repent. He was a watchman in the night, lived his life trying to get Israel to open their eyes at what you're doing. He tried to save it from Babylon. And another message we can see is God uses people and nations, maybe unexpected ways, to get His will accomplished. Doesn't mean, we see during Jeremiah's time, God used, excuse me, ungodly nations to accomplish His will. Doesn't mean that God endorses those nations. God used Egypt to show them His power. And so, we as Christians don't need to get worked up just because powers and worldly nations, people, principalities may be on the rise. God may be using them for our benefit. Doesn't mean that God endorses them. But the key is not what's going on around us. It's how we respond. It's how we, you know, I love this country. I'm as patriotic as they come. Us as a Christian, it is not whether or not we'll be, whether our nation stands or not. Will we be Christians if it doesn't? That's the question. That's the key. If everything that we know and love falls around us, will we still be Christians and observe God and not take on the world around us? Those are some of the messages I get from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to look at verses 5 through 10. I don't have slides for 6 through 10. Messed up. Anyway, got verse 5. God is saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. That says a lot. Whenever we maybe start having that pity party and want to sit down in the middle of the road and eat worms, having that poor woe is me. A good self-esteem booster, God, before we were even born, knew us, loves us, and has a purpose for us, just like He did Jeremiah. Now, going on to read 6 through 10, then I said, talking about Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Jeremiah was being called to serve God. And his excuse was, I'm just a kid. What can I do? Kind of reminds me of what Paul told his beloved Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anybody despise you for your youth. You preach the word. You preach the word, Timothy. And that's what God is telling Jeremiah. I am with you. I knew you before you were born. I will be with you in your life. You do my will. Can any of us have a valid argument to do anything other than that? God has a plan for us. In chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, is a passage. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Here's an exchange. God is asking, what haven't I done for you? You people that claim to follow me, I delivered you out of Egypt. I took you through the wilderness to a bountiful land. And what did you do? You abandoned me. You started seeking after any and everybody else. And that speaks to me today. After all the things that God has demonstrated time after time after time and again in my life, why would I ever abandon him? Why would I ever not want to do what he wanted from me? But yet, how many times do I stumble? In chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, it says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Talk about a stiff-necked group of people. God is saying, stand, not only stand in the ways and see, and not only ask for the old paths, but then walk in it. I think of how many times we as people will kneel down and pray to God for something and then not do our part in it. You know, One of the things that I see in religious people is a desire for new paths. These are changing times. We gotta change. This was an old, God's word is old. Needs to be modernized, needs to be updated. We need a new edition. God is saying, ask for the old paths where the good way is. The people, the forefathers of God's people that have blazed a trail before us, they made those paths for a reason. Not to be updated, not to be modernized, not to be freshened up. God is saying, seek the old paths and then walk in it. But they responded, we will not walk in it. Goes on to say, also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Well, what was the trumpet? It was a warning. The watchmen, if they're doing their job, they are on duty. And they're watching for the sake of the people. And when they see danger, they blow the trumpet, and you will know, your ears will perk up, and you've been warned. Listen to the sound of the... I have set watchmen over you. You listen. Be alert for that trumpet sound. But they said, we will not listen. Can't make me. You can't... Who are you to tell me what to do? I won't do it. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. I am so glad God's talking only to Jeremiah and not to us. This is loud and clear to us today in 2024. I think that's the first time I've said that, 24. I think, maybe, I don't know. Can you believe we're in 2024? Wow. But they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. In chapter 7, verse 13, and now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all of your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim. You said, I will not listen, I will not follow. This is going to be the consequences. I will cast you out of my sight. Is this the way you want to play? God says, fine. This is the way you want to play? Let's play this game. I will cast you out of my sight. We're going to end up with this passage today. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. God has given them the option. Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my special people. I think of, you know, what of what Peter wrote about, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Think of what God, well, we used John 3:16 and 17 today in our morning lesson, that God so loved the world. Think of what God has laid out for us, wanting to bless us and give us every blessing under heaven. These people are saying, we don't want it. I will not obey. I will not follow those old paths. We can learn from them. We're going to stop here. We're not going to do all 50. Preston and I didn't have planned tonight to go through all 52 chapters of it. I sometimes bite off more than I can chew sometimes. But in the next, 4 or 5 years, as we will continue to go through Jeremiah when I have the opportunity on Sunday night to speak to you, you might want to take some time and read Jeremiah after you read Obadiah first. Read Obadiah. That's your homework for Sunday morning class. But if you get some time, read Jeremiah. It's a warning book. It's, to me, it's one of those what I think of as a mirror book. As we read it, it's kind of like looking in the mirror. And it's not just talking to Jeremiah and the people of that era. It's as much talking to us today. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through I'm pretty sure that everybody here tonight of age is a baptized believer. If you need to repent of any sins, if you need prayers that we could assist you with as your brothers and sisters, if you're looking for a church home and would like to work and worship with us here at South Valley, we would love to welcome you. Thank you for your attendance tonight and for your fellowship tonight. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as Kurt leads us in the invitation song, and we will address your needs. Let's stand and sing.